Good evening. As was mentioned, the scripture is taken from John 19. I was just thinking that scripture goes along with the message this morning somewhat. I really appreciated that message this morning. That scripture verse, the text that Paul used, 2 Corinthians 5:21, I memorized quite a while already, and I think it's a verse that perhaps we should all memorize. It's a good reminder of what Jesus did for us, and also that our responsibility, you know, because of that, we are ambassadors for Christ. I mean, that's what a responsibility we have. Okay, let's read, starting at verse 19. The Jews, therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that he might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith, and he knoweth that he saith true, that he might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they had pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in that garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Those that are able, let's kneel for prayer.
Good evening. Greetings in Jesus' name. The title tonight is different than what I would normally come up with, and maybe this sermon will be a little different. My title tonight is Perfume, a Tomb, and Spices. As we consider some scriptures here tonight and some thoughts concerning what various people gave to Jesus, I trust that we can each be challenged for our own lives of just what we have been giving Jesus, what we've been holding back, what we've been unwilling to give, what we should be giving Jesus. There is one tonight that we owe our whole life to. We owe our deepest devotion, our worship. God, our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is he receiving it in my life? That's what I'm being challenged with tonight, and I share it with you. In the scripture, a few that I picked out, perfume or ointment, costly, and a tomb, and spices, all costly. What are we giving to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, after all that he has done for us? Now, I've been challenged by women in the scripture in this area more than men. And as I say that, I also think of my wife and how she worshiped there at home with her hands up. I'm thinking on a level that I have not been on. And I think we'll see that here tonight in some scriptures. I think many times women lead the way in this area. Does Jesus have part of your heart tonight? Does he have none of it? Does he have it all? First of all, tonight, perfume. I'm going to go through the four Gospels. I invite you to turn along with me. First of all, in Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to be reading verses 6 through 13 and making a few observations. Then we're going to go to Mark, then we're going to go to Luke, and then we're going to go to John. And at first glance, you might read these four accounts and say, well, they're the same account. And if you believe that, that's fine. I actually didn't come here tonight to tell you how many of these accounts are synonymous with one another, or how many different actual accounts we have here among the four. Let's just look at it. Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is being anointed. Verse 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany, mark that, he was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, mark that, he was in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman. And you'll see in these next gospel accounts all these facts as well. Bethany, and in one more of them, you'll see Simon the leper. And there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, and you'll see that again. A very precious ointment. And notice where she put it. She poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Keep that in your mind. This woman poured the ointment. She anointed him by pouring this ointment on his head. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. They were a little riled up by it. They were angry. This word indignation. This fired them up a little bit. This bothered them. Why did it bother them? Because what purpose is this waste? They saw it as something valuable. They saw a dollar amount attached to it. And here it was poured out and don't have it anymore. Can't sell it, can't do anything else with it. This ointment might have been sold for much, given to the poor. Verse 9, verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why are you troubled, the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. And we're going to see those words again. We're going to see a lot of these words again in the gospel accounts. Jesus does say there, she did this for my burial. She hath poured this ointment on my body. She did it for my burial. Jesus would be tried and he would be crucified as a criminal. And criminals did not get the type of burial that other people got in that society. And so it's very significant. She did it for his burial. And so these highlights here are, it was at Bethany and it was in the house of Simon the leper. It was precious ointment. It was costly. It was expensive and it was poured on his head. And the disciples were filled with indignation. They were angry. They were upset by it all. And then Jesus talked about this being a memorial for her. And so as we read each gospel here, how many different anointings? How many different alabaster boxes? How many different women were there? Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Mark 14, 3. And being in Bethany, there it is again. Mark also has him in Bethany. And Mark also has him in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat. Sounds like a repeat. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. We have a repeat. We appear to have another record of the same account. And we continue to see that similarity. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of this ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So we have a repeat. Matthew, now Mark. Okay, it read basically almost identical. Okay. We read again about Bethany and the house of Simon the leper. We read again about the alabaster box. We read about how costly this perfume was, this ointment. Again, poured on the head. Again, indignation. And again, Jesus made some very similar closing comments. Luke chapter 7. Here's where things get a little askew, if you're trying to line these all up. Luke chapter 7. 36. And one of the Pharisees, we don't hear Bethany here, and we're not going to hear about this man, Simon the leper. We're hearing about a Pharisee. And by the way, would a Pharisee go and be with a leper? Not likely. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And this time, Jesus went into the Pharisee's house. The other two times, Matthew and Mark, he went into the Simon the leper's house. He sat down to meat. And behold, a woman. Sure enough, it's a woman again. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box. There it is again, alabaster box. To confuse us, an alabaster box of ointment. And this woman stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. It sounds like first she washed his feet with her tears and dried the feet with her hair, and then she anointed with ointment. This woman was very, very touched. She was very, very full of emotion. And the Bible tells us that she was a sinner. And she was a known sinner, because look at verse 39. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he should have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And he's probably thinking he should have never tolerated it. He should have shushed her away. You know, the holy Jesus, and here's this sinner, and probably she was a sexually immoral woman. Probably. That's probably what it's referring to. Prostitute. And so Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And I don't think that is to confuse us. We had Simon the leper in Matthew and Mark. I think this is another Simon. This is the name of this Pharisee. And he saith, Master, say on. And then he gives this parable of the creditor about, let's have a lesson on what forgiveness is and who's going to love the most, because of who's forgiven the most. I won't bother with that, but that's what Jesus goes on and explains there. And so in Luke here, we have a Pharisee, not Simon. And it's in the Pharisee's house, not in Simon the leper's house. It's a woman from the city this time, a sinner, a known sinner. People knew she was a sinner. Pretty bad, no doubt. Pretty obvious, no doubt. And no doubt sexually immoral. But she did have an alabaster box. And she had costly ointment. John chapter 12. We'll go to the fourth one here. John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Ah, now we're back where Matthew and Mark were. Bethany. Where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And Martha served. Lazarus, Martha. Martha served. Yeah, Martha was the server. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Verse 3, then took Mary. Ah, so we have Lazarus, and we have Martha and Mary. We have this family that Jesus was very close to, these dear friends of his. And Mary takes a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Again, it's very costly ointment, spikenard, perfume, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. She anointed the feet of Jesus. Matthew and Mark had anointed the head. Or did they do both? And are we getting details one at a time here from the different Gospels? I think I forgot to point out, I believe Luke did the feet. The woman in Luke's account did the feet. And here we have the feet again. I've really struggled with this because you have the synoptics. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the synoptic Gospels. Very similar. They share a lot of the same parables and accounts. And the Gospel of John, more separate. And yet tonight I'm led to looking at Matthew, Mark, and John together and Luke separate. How many alabaster boxes? How many anointings? How many separate occasions here? How many different women? I'm not going to tell you. I think, and I'm led to believe, and I know what various commentators have said. I'm personally led to believe that there was more than one occasion in which Jesus was anointed with costly ointment. Were there more than two? Some think there possibly could have been three separate occasions. I personally believe there were at least two. And I believe you might be able to connect John with Matthew and Mark and get one occasion out of those three and Luke separate, a second occasion. I'll leave that with you. But in John's account here, we're back in Bethany, right where Matthew and Mark were. But this time we have names attached. We have the name Lazarus. We have the name Martha. And we have the name Mary. In Matthew and Mark, we have the name Simon the leper. But we don't have the woman named. Or any of her relatives. Unless Simon the leper was a relative. Some are led to believe that it's very probable that Simon the leper was Lazarus and Mary and Martha's father. Don't doubt it. Don't know for sure, but I don't doubt it. But here in John, we have familiar names, Lazarus, Martha, Mary. And you know, there in verse 3, Mary took that pound of ointment and she anointed Jesus' feet. And in verse 4 there, once again, you have a disciple complaining. And this time that disciple is named Judas Iscariot. Is there any wonder? He says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had to beg and bear what was put therein. And Jesus said once again, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Again, complaining about the waste. How many separate accounts do we have here? I don't know. But these are accounts. And I believe it was more than one. Accounts of true and deep devotion and worship. Where do they leave you and I? Am I devoted enough? These women, it just seems like their whole heart, their whole life, what mattered was Jesus. What mattered was that they would honor him and worship him and be devoted to him. That's what I want to get out of these, and that's what I share with you. But these accounts are of true and deep devotion and love and worship to God. And God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. So first we talked there about perfume, anointment. Secondly tonight, what was given to Jesus. Number two tonight, a tomb. Matthew chapter 27. Verses 57 to 61. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. That is something that Joseph gave. And laid it in his own new sepulcher. His own new grave, his own new tomb, his own new sepulcher. Tomb which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Here we have an account of Joseph of Arimathea taking great interest and putting that interest into action, that this man, this God-man, Christ Jesus, who had just been crucified on the cross, what was to become of his body? And Joseph of Arimathea steps forward and does something about it. It's a brand new tomb. It's his own. This is the only gospel account where we see that it is his own. But here we clearly see who owned this tomb, where Joseph laid the Lord Jesus. Body, after he had given his life a ransom for you and I, he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the stone, out of the rock. A tomb tonight was given to Jesus. A brand new tomb hewn out of the rock by this man's own hands. And a prophecy was fulfilled. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9, his death with the rich. This man was rich, Joseph of Arimathea. Notice a clean linen cloth there in verse 59. In Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 15, verse 42, we read Mark's account. Now, when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. You know, why it usually took a day or two. He asked whether he had been any while dead, and when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and wrote a stone onto the door of the sepulchre. Luke chapter 23. Verses 50 to 56. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man, a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went on to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn out of stone, which wherein never man before was laid. And so there we see the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Brother Art read from John chapter 19. And I want to go back there again. John chapter 19. And what we want to do here, we want to go to our third gift tonight, our third gift that Jesus was given, that I have chosen here for this little chat tonight: spices. Perfume, costly perfume, ointment for Jesus, a tomb for Jesus, and now spices for Jesus, a gift that was given to him. John 19. Again, I want to repeat verses 38 to 42. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Notice a new character here, a new name. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, these two took the body of Jesus, they wound it in linen clothes that they had bought, with the spices which they had bought, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. They loved Jesus. I don't doubt they were putting themselves at pretty high risk taking this action. But they did it because they loved Jesus. And they were going to have him an honorable and a respectful burial. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. And so they gave Jesus perfume, they gave him a tomb, and they gave him spices. Nicodemus provided a mixture of myrrh and aloes, also linen clothes and spices. I want you to notice tonight in the scripture, the women gave even more. In Luke chapter 23, verses 55 and 56, and the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. In chapter 24, verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they, these women, came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. These women were devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ had these women's whole heart, all their affection, all their devotion. It was pure and it was holy. In these women, and in Joseph of Arimathea, and in Nicodemus, which came to Jesus first by night, we see people who truly and deeply loved and cared. I believe they loved Jesus with all their heart, soul, and mind. The commandment that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 to 40, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. They lived that out. Am I? The 12 disciples were commissioned to teach and preach the gospel. They were men. But very important work was carried out by two other men, Joseph and Nicodemus. Men with hearts full of love and devotion to perform the delicate task of caring for the body of Jesus. Respectfully, honorably, reverently. And then there were these areas of service and ministry that women could do the best job at. Women could do the best job here. They could outdo the men. And they did it in all holiness and purity and with all godliness. Alabaster boxes, ointments, perfumes, spices, tears, hair let down, which was against the custom, let down to wipe his feet. The first at the grave, early in the morning, on that first day of the week, which became known as the first resurrection morning. Praise God, the stone was rolled away. Praise God, the tomb was empty. Praise God, the statement was made, he is not here, he is risen. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? You're not going to get me off of that probably for a year or two. Too bad, you're going to hear it. I hope you enjoy hearing it. People don't need to be of all men most miserable because Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The gospel account goes on there and says, why seek ye the living among the dead? The living Christ is not here. You're in an area of tombs, but the one you're interested in is empty. Because the Lord of life, God in the flesh, could not be held by a tomb. Death could not conquer him. The grave could not hold him. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek us life among the dead things of this world? Why do I? Why do you? It bids asking, doesn't it? Why do we put the energies and the monies and the time into the things we put them in? And it's not for kingdom gain, and it's not for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Why do we seek the living among the dead in materialism, in the praise of men, in pleasure? Colossians 3, 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Who or what really and truly has your love, worship, and devotion? Some women in Scripture, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night, made it quite clear who had their devotion. God bless you.
Our brother has given us a really good challenge here this evening. Does Jesus have all of our heart? How much of our heart does he have? He desires all of our heart, our love, and our affection. Thank you, Brother Glenn. That's But before we kneel, I did have some other thoughts. I was thinking about the life of Jesus, and as part of the Trinity, he was fully God. He became a man. He had all power and authority. Thinking about what he gave up in order to come to earth to fulfill God's plan. And thinking about the difficulty that, what he had to go through, to humble himself, to go through to put up with, the human body and the temptations of the flesh, and the meekness that he showed. He had all power, but yet he didn't use it when he could, when he probably was tempted to, or maybe could have. Thinking about the temptation of Satan in the wilderness, Satan threw those temptations at him. I just had to think in the human side of him, was he tempted? Was he truly tempted to give it all up, to take that glory for himself? I don't know if he was or not, but we know that he didn't give in to that temptation. He remained faithful. His God, his Father God, had his whole heart and his love and affection. So we have Jesus as our perfect example, and he wants our hearts and our love and our affection. And thank you for that challenge here this evening. Let's kneel for prayer.